This talk was given the 30th of March, 1969, in New York City, as one of the Bucks County Seminar House series. The speaker is Baba Ram Das, formerly Dr. Richard Alpert.
Looked for, it cannot be seen. It is invisible. Listened for, it cannot be heard. It is inaudible. Reached for, it cannot be touched. It is intangible. These three are beyond analysis. These three are one. It rises like the sun, but does not illuminate. It sets like the sun, but does not darken. Without beginning, without end, infinite, indefinable. It is the form of the formless. It is existence in non-existence. It is the greatest mystery. Meet it, and it has no face. Follow it, and it has no back. Hold close to the ancient Tao, the way, and be master of your present existence. Knowing the present, you mirror the past. This is the clue to the Tao. Knowing the present, you mirror the past. How do you know the present? How do you get here and now? How can you draw from this present instant the eternity that is within it? If I say to you, go through the here and now and be in eternity, and you turn off all the things that keep you from here and now, all the thoughts about yesterday, all of the definitions of personality and self, all of the plans for the future, all of the analysis and synthesis and application of symbols that makes you a literate being. All of that stuff, caught in the thicket of stuff. You really wanted to get here and now, but you just couldn't manage it because you're busy collecting these ideas for later on. I mean, is he going to say anything that'll be useful to me in my work? Too bad. The answer's no. Not a thing. The work is right now. This is it. If you're not making it at this very instant, that's it. All there is right now. Right now. Are you busy in transit? You so busy rushing from there to there? Ching, the chief carpenter, was carving wood into a stand for musical instruments. When finished, the work appeared to those who saw it as though of supernatural execution. And the Prince of Lu asked him, saying, "What mystery is there in your art?" "No mystery, Your Highness," replied Ching. "And yet there is something. When I am about to make such a stand, I guard against any diminution of my vital power. I first reduce my mind to absolute quiescence. 3 days in this condition and I become oblivious of any reward to be gained. 5 days and I become oblivious of any fame to be acquired. 7 days and I become unconscious of my four limbs and my physical frame. Then, with no thought of the court present in my mind, my skill becomes concentrated and all disturbing elements from without are gone. I enter some mountain forest. I search for a suitable tree. It contains the form required, which is afterwards elaborated. I see the stand in my mind's eye and then set to work. Beyond that, there is nothing. I bring my own native capacity into relation with that of the wood. What was suspected to be of supernatural execution in my work was due solely to this." to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is only here and now. However it is now is just exactly the way it is supposed to be. With all of the terrible beauty of nature, all and everything. Here and now. You waiting for something else? Waiting to collect more? It's right here and now. Here and now. Stop waiting. Stop collecting. There is no listener here and there is no speaker. There is just here and nowness. Pure consciousness is eternal and timeless. It is outside of time. It is outside of time. Outside. To help you get here and now from the Song of Mahamudra by Tilopa, close your eyes. Do not with your body, but relax. Shut firm the mouth and silent remain. Empty your mind and think of naught. Like a hollow bamboo, rest at ease your body, giving not nor taking. Put your mind at rest. Mahamudra, the great way, is like a mind that clings to naught. Thus practicing, in time, you will reach Buddhahood. Think a hollow bamboo sits thinking about its past, planning for the future, noticing how it is in relation to other hollow bamboos. The sun shines on the hollow bamboo and the hollow bamboo becomes warm. Sun sets and the hollow bamboo is cold. When it's cold, it doesn't say, I wish I were warm. It's just being cold, hollow bamboo. and the hollow bamboo withers. It is just a withering hollow bamboo. It isn't remembering how it was before it withered. It isn't fearing what will happen when it returns to dust. At every moment, it's just here and now. Everything in nature is here and now. But man's intellect, because he can conceive of time, went away from the here and now. He went away from the Tao. He went away from the way. In this room, were we able to truly be hollow bamboo, there would only be one of us. One consciousness, one awareness. All these bodies like fingers and toes, all of these manifestations, one awareness. And from this awareness of hollow bamboo, we would look on this whole drama in which we are participating. We would see it all, though we would not be looking. No judgment, no evaluation, no labeling, no labeling, just an existential fact, just part of the grand illusion. If you are doing the work on the rebirth, on the birth of the spiritual being within, all this evening you will not get caught in the drama. You will not listen, and yet you will hear. You will not collect, and yet you will know. We come from nowhere, we are going nowhere, we are it all already. There is nothing that I can say to you that you do not already know. Nothing. But you have to be very quiet, hollow bamboo to be the wisdom that is already within you. Otherwise, you just scurry furtively around out there looking for what is already inside. The jewel is already in your hand. Already in your hand. The whole process of living life in the way, or in the Tao, as it is called, is the process of living in the here and now. Doesn't mean irresponsibility. Doesn't mean any change in what's going on. It just means a change in where your head is at. Before Satori, you chop wood and carry water, and after Satori, you chop wood and carry water. But imagine making a music stand when there is no maker of music stands. Imagine driving a bus on Third Avenue when there is no driver of the bus. Imagine cooking food when there is no cook. Imagine living your entire existence where there is no doer. There is just hollow bamboo, and it's all happening. Hollow bamboo continues to grow. It's doing its thing. It's growing up like hollow bamboos are supposed to. Just being. And how do you get out of that that world you live in that is not here and now? It's a lovely story of two monks who are not supposed to have anything to do with women. And they come to a river, and there is a beautiful chick standing on the bank. And this lovely maiden is in distress because she can't get across the river. And one of the monks picks her up and carries her across, sets her down. And then they walk on silently for about 3 or 4 hours. Finally, the second monk can stand it no longer. And he turns to the first monk and he said, "You shouldn't have done that." To which the first monk replied, "I left her on the other bank." I finished with it. I live in the here and now. Live in the here and now. First lessons my guru brother taught me when we started to travel together was that he just wasn't interested in my dance. Do you ever go out on a dance floor and you happen to be extremely good at doing the frog? Except nobody wants to frog. There was a time when I had gone to dancing class when I was very small, and I had learned how to tango and samba and rumba, and then it all changed. And there I was with all of my dancing class knowledge, but there were no partners, because everybody was doing this stuff, other stuff. Well, that's the way it was with Bhagwan Das, my guru brother. We would sit on our pallets in the monasteries we'd stay in along the way. And I am a teller of tales. And I've always told groovy stories. That's who I am, you know. That's my game. So I'd say to him, I try to entice him with the most, you know. Did I ever tell you about the time when we were carrying, when Tim Leary and I were driving, flying the airplane back in the dark from Acapulco with 50 gallons of gas in the back and overloaded, and the danger and the mountains? And I'd really try to seduce him in with all the drama. And he would look at me out of half-closed eternal eyes, and he would say, "Just be here and now." Wham! Total slap in the face. Ego thoroughly shattered. But I don't give up that easily. What do you say we get a big sailing schooner and we go to South America? I've got some rich friends, and I'm sure we can talk them into it. Wouldn't that be a groove? Don't live in the future. Just be here and now. If you can be here and now, now, when the future comes, you will have optimum energy and optimum awareness. There's very little else to talk about. No past, no future. Boy, I really feel happy. This is really fun. Emotions are like waves, just roughening the waters. Let the emotions dissipate into the distance. Watch them go. Be like a calm ocean. Well, my last card was gone. Silence. That scary silence. Scary silence. You still waiting? The scary silence. It's difficult pursuing sadhana, the spiritual path, when you are living where four streets intersect, say the yogis, or where there are many anthills. Here we are living in the midst of a huge termitry, huge termitry. We are attempting an extraordinary thing. We're attempting to find a vibrational rate in the midst of another vibrational rate. We're attempting to find a calm center when all about us is caught in sense, caught in stimulation, super stimulation. We are living right in the center of the highest stimulation onslaught the world has. Right here, this city. You are bombarded from the moment you wake, in fact, during the sleep. All day, all night, bombarded by stimulation. Every ad, if you did this, that would happen. Remember the past, plan for the future. Desire, want. How in the midst of all that do you get to the here and now? How can you be going up Third Avenue so you're doing nothing but going up Third Avenue? How do you do that? The secret is in non-attachment. Non-attachment. Doing what you do, the secret is called karma yoga. Yoga means union. The secret is in the method of doing what you do, and yet there is no doer. because you are not attached to making the music stand. You are a maker of music stands who makes no music stands, and yet music stands are made. Can you understand that? Can you understand that? Can you understand what it would mean to be unattached and yet live in the middle of the world of social responsibility with family, with children, with savings accounts, with automobile payments, with job, with eating and sleeping and toileting? And you imagine what it must be like to do that without attachment? Without attachment. Complete renunciation. That doesn't mean you renounce it in the external sense. When you think of renunciates, you may think of Milarepa. You may think of some guy sitting up in a cave in a mountain, a renunciate. He's turned away from his family. He's turned away from worldliness. That's merely an external diagram. Renunciation is a totally internal matter. It's an internal matter. If I am sitting here attached to this lecturing, I am not doing this work. The work I'm doing lies right in this. And this is a trap also. The work is lying inside. The work is that all the time I am talking to you, inside is going mantra, is going the repetition of a mantra. Sometimes it's Rama, 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 Rama. A repetition of the name of God. Sometimes it's Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. You thought I was lecturing. I'm not here at all. I'm just inside doing Alma Naped Neon, Alma Naped. When I look at you, you know, some people, you look at them and they like wave. You know, it's like an interpersonal kind. It's not interpersonal. When I look at somebody, I see the light. I see the same place in them which is in me. When I look into their eyes, I am just looking into the eyes of God. It's all the same person. I can still make discriminations. I can see red sweaters, black sweaters. I mean, I haven't lost my capacity to discriminate. That's all going on, too. Just I'm not hung up being that guy. Because inside is just going, Aum Mani Padme Hum, Aum Mani Padme Hum, Aum, the name of God in the unmanifest form. Mane, the jewel. Padme, the lotus. Hung, the manifestation, the heart. It means the unmanifest God is the jewel in the middle of the lotus that resides in my heart. That's where I'm hanging out. See, where I am at this moment is I'm sitting in a cave inside. It's a very groovy cave. It's called the Hridayam, the spiritual heart. And in that cave is where I live. And from the cave entrance, I'm watching this drama. This is Channel 7. This is a group central casting sent over for the evening. Send over one holy man. You know, got to look like a holy man. Big beard. You know, the off Santa Claus season. Somebody will be available. White uniform. Send off over so many people, that look interested, of varied sorts. Send a varied assortment over. All right. Here we all are, Central Casting Center. So, well, who are we? Don't get hung up in thinking that's who we are. That's just the drama we were hired to play tonight. Who are you? I'm a housewife. Who are you? I'm a lawyer. I'm a psychiatrist. I'm an architect. I'm a teacher. I'm an artist. I'm a poet. Social role. Central casting. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm a student. I'm a wise man. Roles. Central casting. Send over one wise man, one student, one baby, one adult. Don't get caught. Wow. That's like Mickey Mantle thinking all he is a baseball player. Or Laurence Olivier thinking all he is Hamlet. I mean, don't forget, you're just playing Hamlet. Oh, now come on, that's not right. What do you think life is, just a game? Well, watch it. After all, it's serious. I mean, your life may not be, but my life is serious. I've got problems. So poignant. Herman Hesse says in Journey to the East, that's just what life is when it's at its most beautiful, an exquisite game. An exquisite dance. It's Shiva's dance. It's the Lila Rasa, the divine dance. But who we are is eternal. Who we are is outside of time and space. Who we are just is. And then all this stuff happens. Can't you conceive of what it must be like not to be the stuff and still be hanging around? Just be a hollow bamboo. It's quite easy. I mean, the Mahamudra vow tells you. Tilopa told you what to do. He said, do not with the body, but relax. Shut firm the mouth and silent remain. Empty your mind and think of not. Ha, ha, ha. Bet you can't do it. You got this exquisite mind. You've been training it to collect, analyze, discriminate, know. You have developed a model of the universe that says, as John Donne put it, each man is an island unto himself. Man is an island unto himself, and you believe it. So there I am, and you know who I am to you? I'm him. Isn't that funny? I'm him. You're not him to me. You're us. In fact, everybody in the world is us to me. There's no them. Well, come on now. I mean, everybody isn't good. Sure, there's Iago. There's Lady Macbeth. But I don't hate the woman who plays Lady Macbeth. I mean, if she really does it well, I've got to note that she's a great actress. Because she really caught me. She really got me angry at her. She really sucked me in. That's the exquisiteness of nature, that it's a great actress. The Divine Mother is such a great actress. It really takes you on the trip. It really sucks you in. No matter how many times you get out of it, it takes you back in again. It's got such subtle methods of doing it. St. John of the Cross describes, like, all of the ones that come to you when you're trying to extricate yourself. He always talks about the beautiful ones of pride. When you're just getting a little ahead with your spiritual work and you feel great bliss and you feel very close to God and your ego gently pitter-patters around and pats you on the back and says, pretty good. Pretty good. There you are. It's just taken over the one thing you were doing to get out of yourself, and it's made it into another Hamlet. He talks about what it feels like when you start to think you're good and pure. He says sometimes you get so pure that you don't want to, you've got a relationship going with your confessor. This is a great story. He says you've got a relationship going with your confessor and you want him to think you're good. So you go to another confessor to confess all the bad sins so that when you go to your confessor, he won't think you're bad. Dishonesty. Wow. Laugh though you will, you don't think we're all doing the same thing all the time to ourselves? Okay, let's say for a moment, just as I appreciate that life can't really be a game because it's too serious. But for a moment, as a hypothetical possibility, a guy came to me a few weeks ago in New Hampshire, and he said to me, he was a beautiful guy. He looked just like the butler in the Charles Addams Family. And he came in at around 11 o'clock at night. And he came through the snow. And he sat in the, you know, in the mats in the darshan room. We had tea, and there was quite a group of people there. And he said, I've been a burglar. I've been a second story man. I'm into breaking an entry. And he says, that's not who I am. I'm tired of my life of crime. I want to get out of it. And we were a group of very sophisticated spiritual seekers hanging out there, and that blew our minds. I mean, you know, that was just too pure for our game, really. And he had a friend with him who was a clerk in a store, and his problem was that he was obsessed with sexual fantasy. He presented that as his presenting problem. And after everybody went home, the three of us stayed and worked together until about 3 or 4 in the morning. And I live, the way I do it is I sit with somebody and I listen to the whole drama. I listen with, as Buddha says, unbearable compassion. I mean, I got so much compassion, I really empathize, because I just turned me off. I just go the whole trip. I mean, I'm climbing in the window and opening the safe, and I'm just feeling my way through the whole thing. I got practice from being an LSD guide for many years. Well, you've got to go along with a person's head all the way for 10, 12 hours to be a perfect guide. And I went on all these trips, and all the time, Almane Padme. So I'm not going anywhere. Right? I'm going, but I'm not going. And a person lays their whole thing on you, all this stuff, see? They bring a huge box of stuff. It is what I see, really, when they come. See, I see them, you know, carrying in a huge, big box. Sometimes it's wrapped with beautiful ribbons and stuff, a huge box of stuff. And you strengthen yourself and you get your mantra going and you're ready, see, because you know they're going to lay the whole box on you. And it's full of goodies that are really going to suck you in. Physical illness, try that one. Ooh, that one gets you. Physical illness. Lots of money. That's a funny one. That still gets me. I really gotta do my mantra when there's lots of money around. Because I'm still a Jewish middle class boy. I can go that trip still. Somebody comes and waves $10 million in front of my eyes, and my eyes are, you know. See, we have some astral beings up there. So I do my mantra, and they lay the whole box on me, and I send it through. Goes through like Chinese food, just boom. And at the end, my mind is perfectly empty, and I am just doing my mantra. Now, what effect does that have on another person? If they literally cannot suck you into their dance, and at the same moment you are totally here. See, the thing that Bhagwan Das showed me was that at the same time he wasn't the least bit interested in all my melodrama, he was totally here. I never felt anybody so much here in my life. It was like he was right inside all my cells. He was really listening. He was really understanding, and yet he wasn't in the drama. So at the same time as he was totally here, there was no rejection. No rejection. And at the same time, he wasn't the least bit interested. He kept punishing my behavior, and yet I felt total love and total presence. Very strange. I mean, in our interpersonal dynamics language that we all are masters of, you're getting enough love, enough people appreciating you? Are you appreciated at the office? Do people respect you? Are your achievements recognized? Does she think I'm satisfying enough to her? Watch it. Watch it. Does he really love me for myself? They really hurt, don't they? We're all in them, right up to here. Right up to here. Right up to here. Am I really getting ahead with my sadhana? When will I become enlightened? I mean, am I already not like them? Boy. Boy. By 3 a.m, the upstairs burglar and the sexual fantasy man and me were all dancing madly around the room in the dance of joy, laughing and singing and totally happy. And no longer was there an upstairs burglar man, and no longer was there a sexual fantasy man, and no longer was there a holy man. There were there just three beings, and we were all singing Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. We were singing lovingly to God.